You can turn to Luke chapter 2. Verse 41. This is taking place after, at the time when Jesus Christ is 12 years old. That's a little bit different than Christmas, but it's in the passage. In Luke chapter 2, verse 41, here we go. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wist you not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the opportunity to open the Bible and learn. Tonight, Father, our dilemma is this. We are very limited in our understanding of the words of God. We are very limited in the understanding of the application of the words of God because we are people and our minds are very limited. Our hearts are very, as we saw this past weekend from the words of God, our natural heart is just absolutely, completely contrary to you in every capacity. And so we come to you helplessly tonight and ask you please to open the scriptures and help us, Father. We certainly believe that these are the words of God. We want to understand them. We want to know how they apply to our lives. We want to leave here better than we came. We want to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we want to understand what you want us to understand about this text tonight. We ask you, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you help us and speak to us out of these words, that we may know and believe the words that you have for us tonight. For we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, in this passage, what's happened is Jesus is 12 years old, as you can see in verse 42. And every year at the Feast of Passover, which is what Jews were commanded to do, they go to Jerusalem. And when they go there, they stay long enough to fulfill the custom of the feast. And when they fulfill the days, the feast is Passover, and then you have the seven-day feast of unleavened bread. They got to do all that. And when they fulfill those days, they returned. They were heading back home. Jesus wasn't with them, but they thought he was. Supposing, verse 44 says, supposing him to have been in the company. And they were a full day's journey away before they even realized that he wasn't there. And so they spent some time looking for him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they hadn't found him, then they said, well, we better go back to Jerusalem, see if we can find him. And they looked around there for 3 days before they found him. And they found him when they did, they found him down at the temple. And he's listening as the doctors are speaking. He is asking them questions. And the people who heard him were astonished, the Bible says, at his understanding and his answers. And then she, you know, fusses with him a little bit. Why have you dealt thus with us? Did you not know that we sought thee sorrowing? And he says, how is it that you sought me? Wist you not that I must be about my father's business? And they didn't quite get that because, I mean, you can see Mary says, at the end of verse 48, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he says, I'm about my father's business. They didn't understand the saying which he spake unto them. The interesting thing in this passage today that's evident is this. Jesus tarried behind. See that in verse 43? Jesus tarried behind. They thought Jesus was with them. And what you may have noticed in your life, what you may not realize in your life, what you may have noticed in other people's lives, if you haven't noticed it in your own, is that it is possible to go to church and leave Jesus behind when you leave. You see that thing in verse 41? When his parents went to Jerusalem at the feast of Passover, 12 years old, verse 43, when they had fulfilled the days, they returned, Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And it is possible to go out the doors and not realize that Jesus is not going out with you. I'm making a spiritual application here. If you're saved, Jesus Christ is in you, and he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so he's there doctrinally, and you know it. But how many times have we gotten started in something after we've left a place like this, thinking that Jesus is part of the plan, that Jesus is part of what we're doing, and he's not there. He's not part of what we've done. And we've even been in church. We even fulfilled the custom. We even checked the box and punched that duty. Just like they had. They had done well. And what's worse, it's possible to go to church and leave Jesus behind and not even know that you left him behind. They walked out. Jesus tarried behind in verse 43, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. To be so familiar with church and so familiar with the custom of what we do here, to not even realize that Jesus isn't a part of whatever it is you're fixing to do when you go. And there are a lot of people. There may be some people here tonight who have come here because Wednesday night is what we do, and you're going to leave here thinking that you got something going on that God's a part of, and God's not there. And you say, how is it possible that I could leave and not even know that I left him behind? Well, one of the reasons is because you did what you came to do, which was just simply to go to church. There are a lot of people that simply go to church to go to church. Never intended to come and learn something that would change their lives. Never intended to have their heart reproved or instructed or chastened in any way by the Word of God. Came the way they leave, and because going to church was all that they intended to do. Or it may be that you were able to come and then go and leave Jesus behind because you came going about your business and you're returning to go about your business. And you never were concerned with God's business or Jesus' blessing in your life. That's so common today. And I'm not talking about people that are not here. I won't say, you know, in that kind of church or this kind of church, boy, that's so common. It's common today in our lives. It's common today in our lives. You know, that's the strange thing. Now, I guess the second thing you could see in this text is many people go through life supposing that Jesus is in the company. Verse 44, they supposing him to have been in the company went a day's journey. You know, there are a lot of people that will say, and when I say a lot of people, I'm avoiding saying, you know, you. They'll say, I've prayed about this. I think God's in it. You ever heard that expression? I really believe God's in this. And just because you believe God's in this, and just because you fulfill the custom of going to church and fulfill the custom of praying about it, doesn't mean God's in anywhere in it. He may not even be there. You just suppose that he's in it. And, you know, it does us no good to suppose that Jesus is in our plan. If he's not in our plan, we are absolutely wasting our time. And what's worse, it really messing around with other folks by telling them that Jesus is in the plan when he ain't there. Particularly children who then they learn how to do that too. You know something, honestly, as you think about this year coming to a close and next year coming, you don't want to go anywhere that Jesus is not involved in your plan. You really don't. Church isn't, you don't want church to become a place that you do where you just fulfill your days. You really don't want to get to a place where you're so callous to your own routine, callous by your own routine and your own life, that you don't even know for sure whether God's in it or not. You don't want to be there. And they pretty much kind of, this is the way we've always done it. Been doing this for 12 years ever since, boys, he's bound to be here somewhere. And they really expected him to be there. They spent a whole day looking around. I mean, they saw it all among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. They just really, he has to be here somewhere. God does not have to be where you are just because that's where you are. He's not there because we suppose he's there. We're not there because we want him to be there. He's either there or he's not there. And if he's not there, he's not there. Whether you suppose it or not. I saw it, and I mean, I've seen it in, you know, I've been well-meaning. I've seen it in my own life. And with other Bible students and pastors, you know, God must really be in this. And then it blows up, and they're like, wow, what went wrong? Well, Jesus, he wasn't there. You just thought he was. Supposing him to be. Supposing him to be, to have been in the company. That's not a good assumption. At all. So notice something else in the text. You're wise to turn back when you realize he's not in your company. Look again in verse 44 and 45. They supposing him to have been in the company went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. That's a real good thing to do. If you are going down the road in your plans a little bit, may I tell you, you are not committed to fulfill those plans when you realize that God's not in those plans. The best thing you can do is go back to the place where you last had him in your way and last had him in your plans, find out where he is, hook up with him again, and then go from there. There's nothing wrong with stopping and saying, you know, what an idiot. I was wrong. There's nothing wrong with that. But the trouble comes when you just keep going and figure, well, he'll show up somewhere. And he won't. You're just getting further and further away from the place where you took a detour. That's what I often call this thing in Christian life is you just took the detour. Well, go back to the place where you took the Y in the road and left him. And you know what you're going to find? As they did, he'll be there. He'll be there. So it'd be real good for you to search around if you've got something going on. You're not sure whether he's in it or not. It'd be real good for you to search around and see if he's there. And if you find out he's not there, abandon the plan and go find him. Go find him. You know, another thing in this text that's interesting to find is this, and it's it may take you longer to find him than it did for you to lose him. You wouldn't think that, but how long was it before they figured out he wasn't there? It says they went a day's journey, right? Verse 44, they supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. They didn't find him. So they go back to Jerusalem in verse 45, and verse 46, it came to pass that after 3 days they found him. So it took them a day to realize that he wasn't there, and 3 days to find him. After they had to take the day to go back, they lost that day and 3 more days looking around. Well, where has my little lamb gone? Oh, where can he be? You say, I can't imagine why it might take longer to find him than it did to lose him. You know, you don't have to go far to step out of God's plan. His plan, it's like flying a plane. There are vectors that take you from point to point. And since we're dealing with angles, the longer you travel in off course, the farther you get from your intended objective. You don't have to travel very far to be way off course, though it may be further down that road before you realize just how far off course you are. You've already started off on a bad course, and there's no way to regather till you go back and get on the right place. All right, well, when you go back there, you think, well, why would it take me longer maybe to locate him because than it did to lose him? And the reason is, a lot of times, people that have that where Jesus has tarried behind are on their way back, don't know where to find him. Present company accepted, how many Christians have I found trying to find Jesus in a modern Bible? I really believe that when a person is looking for the Lord and they get a hold of a modern Bible, if they're really believing that God can use that to talk to him, God's going to use that. He's going to use that. I believe that. Now, after they've been there a while and they realize, like you have and like I have, the great difference between this, why am I going to take a pen light when I can have a searchlight beam? If I'm going to get light, I'm going to get all the light, not just, you know, the night light. And so definitely you're going to find them. So what happens is they try to start finding the Bible, might be in the wrong Bible, might be in the wrong church. I've seen people bounce around and they end up here, and it's kind of like, well, we went here, and then you're here a little while and you're like, boy, this is the spot for you or for me. So a lot of times they're looking around, they don't know where to find him. They have no concept of how they might try to reconnect with the Lord. I'm thinking about when we got, it was so long ago when the Lord and I had our head-on collision, our come-to-Jesus meeting. You know, I ended up from the Methodist Church and the Southern Baptist Church, and God did something there, and in a New American Standard Version, and then a, you know, King James Bible, and it took a little while. Well, now that we got, we're in connected, it's like, wow. I'm glad we were making the journey. I'm glad we saw it around there. But it took me a little while. It reminds me of when Houston started transferring, all these oil companies were setting up their headquarters in Houston. Hadn't been there until in the late 70s, then they really started coming in. And so we had a lot of transplanted Americans into Texas. And so many of us got bumper stickers on our cars that said Native Texan. And other bumper stickers started coming out from some of the transplants that said, I wasn't born here, but I got here as quick as I could. Okay, same way, looking around for Jesus, I got here as quick as I could. Where's he going to be? He's going to be in the right church. He's going to be giving the right answers to everyone who wants to hear from him. Look in verse 46 and 47. It came to pass that after 3 days, they found him. Where? In the temple. Sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. You're going to find him where he gets to speak. You know, somebody might start out their journey and they go through a television evangelist, and then they listen to some radio guy and, you know, might have a dose of Joel Osteen for a little while, and they finally land in the right place. Okay, they get there. They get there sometimes when they're really looking for the Lord. So it may take you longer to get back than it did for you to get off track. But that's okay. It's okay. Don't get frustrated with trying to get back on track with the Lord. Nothing's better than being on track with him and having him in your plans. If it takes you a little longer, that's fine. Now, finally, when you find him, you might be inclined to question him. Why'd you do this to me? Why did you stay behind? Look at verses 48, 49, and 50. When they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, why have you done this to us? What did you do this to us for? You left me. I didn't do anything. You left. I've been right here. Now, he didn't say that. Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. He said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wished you not that I must be about my father's business? And you know something? That's where you're going to find him. He is always about his father's business. And if you're not about his father's business, then you and he are not going to be traveling on the same course. He will stay behind. He will. Until you get about father's business. Not yours, his. He's not going to leave his father's business to deal with your business. He's not that interested in your business. He's very interested in his business. And in order for you to get reconnected with him, you got to leave your business. And when I'm talking about business, I'm talking about your life. I'm not talking about somebody's going to leave here. Man, preacher told me I got to leave my business. I heard from God. I'm talking about your monkey business. I'm talking about your stuff. It's occupying you in your time. You need to leave your business and go to his business. And when you get hooked up with him in his father's business, and then you start doing his father's will in your life, Jesus will be with you. He'll be traveling with you. So when they got all that straightened up, and then he went back with them, everything was fine, and he was subject to them. He stayed there in Nazareth, and everything was fine. But we have something to learn here. And what we have to learn is that just because we go to church doesn't mean that he's in it with us. We leave here just the way we came, and we don't want to suppose that he's in the company or lead other people to suppose he's in the company when he's not. If you find out after hearing something like this, you got something going on in your life he's not involved in, turn back. If it takes you a while to locate it because you got to sort through some of the mess you made in the meantime to get lined back up with him, go through it, that's fine. And don't bother to ask him, you know, why'd you do this? Okay, because the answer is, you already know the answer. I wasn't in that. The answer is, I'm in what my father wants me to do, and if you want me traveling with you, you go do what my dad wants you to do, and we'll be fine. Pretty simple message, but pretty profound. Father, we're thankful tonight to hear from the words of God. We're asking you, please, to help us to look at this. We may tonight very well have in our midst some people who think they've done good today because they've been on church on Wednesday night, and they're doing well when they leave here because they believe after a little bit of praying, you're right along in there with them, involved in their plans. And if that's not the case, then help them to turn back tonight and wade back through some of the mess that has been made and find out where you are in your father's business so they can get lined up in your father's business so that you can then go with them. And they won't have to suppose it, they'll know it. And ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.